And so in Isaiah chapter 12, I'll just begin there in verse 2. It says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation." And what I'm pointing out here is that the Bible often uses this figurative language of a well. You'll see this in other passages. If you want to go over to John chapter 4, probably a more familiar passage, but just using Isaiah 12 as a springboard to kind of point this out, that, you know, a well is something that the Bible uses figuratively from time to time in the scripture. And I'm setting that up because I'm going to be preaching a series of sermons where I use that same illustration or that same figurative language of a well. Okay, so I'm just pointing that out so you don't think that I'm going too far, you know, out there when I start to use this illustration. It's an illustration that the Bible actually uses. And it's one that I've used in my personal life and have found it to be beneficial. You know, it's a guide that we can run on. I'll get into all that. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But, you know, again, just this illustration here of a well. This is something the Bible uses. We see it there in Isaiah chapter 12, where he talks about the wells of salvation. You might have thought of 2 Peter chapter 2, how when it talks about the false prophets, that they are what? Wells without water, meaning they are like a well that has no profit. But John chapter 4 would be another familiar passage. This is, of course, at, you know, Jesus is sitting at the well, and he's with the woman of Samaria, and he is talking to her, and he's talking about the well of water that is springing up unto everlasting life, right? Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water." So is Jesus talking about a literal well is going to be within us? Of course not. He's speaking, you know, he's using an analogy, a parable. He's speaking figuratively. This is something that he's using to illustrate a greater point, right? That eternal life inside of us is going to be like a well of water. Okay, so I'm not reaching when I'm using this illustration that I'm about to put out over the next several weeks. But again, he's talking about a well of water being in us, springing up into everlasting life. You know, there's a lot of different ways we could apply that. It's kind of outside the scope of this sermon. You know, we could talk about how that's going to be, you know, an eternal, everlasting well. That's a picture of our security in Christ, that once we're saved, we're always saved. We're always going to have that well springing up into us. Also, a well is something that is supposed to be distributed to other people. We should pour out of that well that is within us. We should share the everlasting gospel with other people, right? But the way I want to apply this illustration or this use of a well is having a deeper life, you know, having a deeper, you know, walk with the Lord and just a deeper sense of satisfaction that we get out of life. And if you would go over to Proverbs chapter number 20, it's one of my favorite verses. You know, this is a verse that often comes to mind, something I try to remind myself when it comes to other people, because we're living, you know, in a day when, you know, so many people are living such vain lives. You know, so many people are just living lives that don't have a lot of depth. They don't have a very deep well when it comes to life. You know, that's, you see that, and as a result, you know, a lot of people are not satisfied in life. You know, they're not deriving a lot of sense of self-worth. They're not deriving a lot of sense of purpose in their life. So I really want to talk about, over the next couple of weeks, how to live a deeper life, how to get a deeper well dug in your life, okay, and to dig, and what wells it is that we should dig, you know, where we would dig a well, you know, what that well might be, how we might dig that well. And of course, I'm speaking figuratively, but as I pointed out already using several passages of scripture this morning, that's nothing new, you know, and even when it comes specifically to speaking figuratively using the example of a well, okay. So if you look there in Proverbs chapter number 20, verse 5, it says, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water." Now, where would you find, well, deep water? That would make you think of a well, right? Or a very deep lake. But a man of understanding will draw it out. So that, you know, the illustration I believe it's being expressed here in Proverbs 20, verse 5, is that of a well. Because you draw out of a well. You know, you lower the bucket and you bring it up. "And counsel in the heart of man is like deep water." You know, and again, that's a whole other sermon. You know, man who has wisdom, who has understanding, who has knowledge to share, obviously, that's not something that's we always find on the surface. And this, again, I try to remind myself of this because people are always, you know, we're all just kind of putting what we want the world to see you know, when we live our lives. You know, we're not expressing everything that's in our heart. We're not always sharing all the knowledge that we have. In fact, the next verse is, let's just turn there. I'm gonna butcher it. You're there in Proverbs 20. Look at the next verse. Most men will proclaim every man his own goodness, right? But a faithful man who can find, you know, a person who has depth, who has something to share, isn't going to be somebody who just goes out and proclaims that. They're going to be somebody who keeps that to themselves. It's there, but it takes understanding, it takes knowledge to draw that out of somebody, okay? That's somebody who has depth in their life. They have a depth of character. They have a wisdom. They have understanding. They have knowledge. And they know that, you know, we should not speak in the ears of a fool. We should not, as Jesus said, cast our pearls before swine. And, you know, so I always remind myself that about when it comes to people. Just because people maybe aren't, you know, sharing deep thoughts or, you know, speaking very eloquently or, you know, seem maybe on the surface not to have a lot of wisdom, that doesn't mean it's not there. Because, you know, most men will proclaim every man his own goodness. The fact, the guy that's going around wearing, you know, his so-called intellectualism on his sleeve is probably not as intelligent as he likes to come across. Anyway, I'm kind of going off here, but what I'm talking about digging this well, okay, is about having some depth in our lives, having depth of character, and this is an illustration that we see throughout Scripture. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 6, and look, we want to be people who have depth in our character. We want to be people who have depth in our lives, in these different areas of our life. We want to be able to dig down deep in certain areas of life and draw water. You know, and it's going to take understanding to draw that out. We're going to have to know how to dig. We're going to have to know where to dig. We're going to have to know how to get that water out of that deep well in life. And there's, you know, several different areas in life that we could apply this to, okay? And again, this is just something that I've used. This is just something that I think about often. This is how I kind of keep my life in balance, try to keep things in check. If I feel like some area of my life is out of balance, I'll ask myself, you know, what wells am I digging? Am I digging in all the wells that I need to be digging in? And it just helps me to make sure that I'm not going too deep in one area and too shallow in another, or maybe not digging at all, okay? It's important because we're living in a day where there is a lot of vanity, right? If we're using this illustration of digging down deep and finding cool, you know, clear water that's going to provide sustenance to us, which is going to strengthen us, and it's going to refresh us, you know, having a deeper life. You know, we're living in a time when there's a lot of, you know, murky surface water, right? There's a lot of puddles of vanity in this life, okay, using that illustration. In fact, Solomon knew this all the way back in his day. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 6. It says in verse 11, seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? So Solomon back in his day is saying, look, there's many things that increase vanity. And look, and this is before the advent of, you know, the gym bro and Instagram and all the vain things that are out there today. All the vanity that you see, all these surface level, just, you know, just meaningless, you know, things that have no depth that's out there, right? He's saying, look, there's many things in life that are just vain. There's so many things we could just spend our time in. There's so many things that we could just get caught up in. There's so many shallow little pools in life that really aren't going to, you know, help us live a deeper life, okay? We want to live deeper lives. We don't want to be caught up in these, you know, these many things that increase vanity. And obviously, we're using vanity, you know, meaning that it has no likelihood of fulfillment. And there's a lot of vain things that you could get caught up in that are not going to offer deep, meaningful fulfillment in your life. That's very true. You might get that quick fix. You might feel that quick rush of dopamine. You might get that quick, you know, hit of whatever satisfaction in the moment. But over the long run, we want to have a deep, meaningful life. We're going to have to dig some wells. We're going to have to get out a shovel. We're going to have to know where to dig, how to dig, and we're going to have to dig in these certain areas in order to avoid living a shallow life, okay? And look, living a shallow life is not just, you know, means being vain in the sense that maybe you're just caught up in yourself. It might be that we're so focused on digging one well in our life that we've neglected others. It doesn't necessarily mean we're a bad person. It doesn't necessarily mean we don't have anything to offer. But it's, you know, there might be other areas in our lives where, you know what, it's not much of a well. It's more of a puddle. and maybe it's a dried, cracked out puddle that doesn't have any water in it at all. Look, we want to be able to have lives that have deep, have depth to them that aren't just these surface, you know, vanities. Now, Solomon asked the question here, or he says, look, there are many things that increase vanity. What is man the better? And you can read Ecclesiastes, and obviously there's a certain level of pessimism in Ecclesiastes. But, you know, he also offers answers. If you look at verse 12, he said, for who knoweth what is good for man in this life? He says, who knows what is good? All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow, for who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? So we could read chapter 5 and just think like, man, what a downer. Everything's vanity, right? And that is kind of the message of Ecclesiastes. You know, that life is vanity, all is vain, saith the preacher. But at the end, you know, the commandment is to fear God and to serve him. You know, that's ultimately the answer. And, you know, in between the beginning and the end of the book, Solomon does offer some answers to this question, who knows what is good for man in life? If everything's vain, what is it that we should do? Well, we should try to dig wells. We should try to have a deeper life and not just get caught up in vanity. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, verse 1. These are some of the answers, I believe, that Solomon offers to that question, who knoweth what is good for man? Well, there are some things that are good for us. Yeah, there's a lot of vanity, but, you know, there's a lot of good things for us too. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, vain puddles that don't have any depth in this world, things that aren't going to offer any real satisfaction or sense of purpose in this life. But, you know, there's also some wells that we could dig in this life that are going to offer those things. But it's going to take effort. It's going to take knowledge. It's going to take understanding, like a man of understanding will draw out counsel out of a man who has understanding. Look at verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of a death and the day of one's birth. So having a good name is something that's not vain. You know, having a good name, you know, means you probably have some depth of character. If you have a good name, someone would look at you and say, hey, that person's a hard worker, that person loves the Lord, that person is faithful in these areas, they have something to offer, they have a good name. You know, they're not somebody who's caught up in vanity, just making a mess out of their life, just making mistakes, or just wasting their time on things that amount to nothing, okay? Verse 2, it is better to go to the house of mourning. You know, so he's offering us, hey, what's good? Well, here's some things that are good, to go to the house of mourning. You know, and this is kind of countercultural today, isn't it? This is not the philosophy that's out there. People today teach that you should avoid suffering at all costs. Well, the Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning because of the fact that suffering is inevitable. He says it's better to go to the house of mourning than go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. We're all going to mourn, and the living will lay it to his heart. You know, mourning and suffering is unavoidable. So it's a good thing to just embrace that and to understand that's the way life is. Verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter. So these are the things that are good. These are the things that are going to, you know, add meaning to life, you know. And that's true. You know, when we suffer, you know, we have a deeper appreciation for things. You know, we can relate to other people better. We can sympathize with others. We can empathize with others when we go through suffering ourselves. Sorrow is better than laughter. It's better to be acquainted with grief, to know what it is to suffer, than to just try to live our lives laughing. Now, he's not saying you shouldn't never laugh. He's not saying never have a good time. He's just saying if it came down to one between the other, sorrow would be better because it's unavoidable. You know, laughter is not always guaranteed. That's something that comes and goes. Having a good time. Verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. It's made better not through laughter, but through sorrow. Again, I'm just offering the answers that Solomon is offering to his own question. Who knoweth what is good for man in this life? Verse 4, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools in the house of mirth. Verse 5, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. I love this verse. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise. It's better to be told what you're doing wrong and how to fix it than to just live your life vainly listening to the song of fools and ignoring counsel, ignoring wisdom, ignoring understanding. And I always think about this whenever you hear, you know, some of the music that's being produced today. It's the song of fools. You pull up to the stoplight and it's just like, I can't even repeat what's coming out of these car windows. It's foolish. Anyway, I don't want to go off on that. But it's better to hear the rebuke of wise. Verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, but the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You know, it's good to be a patient person. Verse 11, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. Those that are alive, those that see the sun, they can profit through wisdom. Okay? Wisdom is something that you have to go after. It's a well that you have to dig. Okay? It's something that you have to be has to be pursued in life. It's not on the surface. It's not something that just comes to you. You can't just scroll for that. You can't just, you know, click the mouse and get wisdom. You have to do certain things that require, effort in your lives to get that wisdom. And we're going to talk about that next week. Again, this morning I'm just kind of giving an introduction to this idea, this concept of, you know, digging wells in your life, digging wells that are going to bring depth to your life. They're going to give, a sense of purpose, a sense of satisfaction. And it's important. You say, well, I don't know that I really need this. No, we really do, because we're living in a day-to-day where, you know, there's just so much vanity out there that we can get caught up in. There's just so many vain things that people can pursue. And it might feel good in the moment, but then they're going to get to the back end of life. They're going to get later on in life when those things no longer satisfy, and they're going to not have that sense of satisfaction. They're not going to have a sense of purpose. And they're going to say, why is it? It's because you haven't dug these wells. You haven't dug these wells in your life. What we're learning from Ecclesiastes, and if you would go to chapter 5, is that, you know, having a deep sense of satisfaction, having a deep sense of purpose in your life, it's not something that's derived from the intangible. Or excuse me, it's not derived from the tangible. It's not something you can just pick up and manipulate. You can't order it on Amazon. You can't go buy it at the store. You can't give money for it. You know, the real things that are going to help us live a deeper life, those are things that are intangible. They're things that are inward. Wisdom, you know, knowledge, understanding, these are, you know, things that are within man, right? Look at Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. That's one of the biggest vanities that people are caught up in today is money. You know, the almighty buck is what people worship today. People, I mean, this is sold en masse to people. This is probably the biggest vanity that's out there. That if you just accumulate enough wealth, that if you just have enough money, that somehow your life is going to be better. And look, I'm not saying that having money and paying your bills and taking care of your finances and getting ahead in life, that's not something that's worth pursuing. But what I am saying is that that's not going to give you a sense of purpose in life. It's not going to give you a deep sense of satisfaction. It might not even make you a wise person. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. It's not going to give you satisfaction. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. Think if I could just get more stuff, if I could just have more things, if I could have the latest and greatest this, or the latest and greatest that, you know, then I'll be happy. But you know what? As soon as you unwrap that new whatever, and after a day or two, it's just like anything else. And then it's on to the next one. Then it's on to the next one. The next newest and latest gadget, whatever it is, the latest and greatest car, the newest clothes, the newest styles, all these things. And that's why there's always perpetual new stuff to go get, because it never satisfies. Because abundance does not satisfy. If you love abundance, you know, you're not going to be satisfied when you have abundance, when you have increase. That's vanity. That's not going to lead to a deep life. If you would, go to Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9. And we're going to be in Proverbs several times near the end, so keep something in Proverbs. This idea of digging a deep well, this idea of, you know, getting down into, you know, the some areas in life and digging deep in certain areas of life that are going to derive a deep sense of satisfaction, you know, these are things that come from that are intangible. These don't come from things and stuff and worldly pursuits. If you would, look at Proverbs chapter number 9. It says, verse 12, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. You know, wisdom is something that's going to help us immensely. You know, we should want to be wise people, not just so that we can, you know, proclaim our own goodness, but that so we can be a man that has deep understanding, that it can be like deep water in our heart, that it can be something that's down in there that is beneficial to us. You know, a well has great value. I mean, think about a literal physical well. You know, especially in the area where we live. Wells are pretty important, aren't they? When you live in a desert, when there isn't a bunch of surface water, you know, where you can't just siphon water off of some river or lake somewhere, you know, wells are a very important thing. You know, if it wasn't for wells and air conditioning, you know, probably most people in the Southwest wouldn't be what it is, right? You know, and probably wells would be more important than the air conditioning. You know, you could be really nice and cool as you die from thirst, right? You need that well. But a well is something that has great value for who? For the one who has dug it, right? When we dig that well, it's for our own sustenance. It's for our own relief. And look, that this is what I'm trying to preach about over the next couple weeks. This is what I want to get across. There's wells that you need to dig in your life for you, for your own well-being, right? And look, I'm all for, you know, living for others and things like that. You know, I preached that sermon, that acronym that you've heard preached probably several times, or, you know, joy. Jesus, others, you. That's how you get joy, right? Jesus, others, you. I'm all for that. I'm all for putting Jesus first. I'm all for putting others after Jesus. But you know what? You is part of that acronym. You know, and sometimes we neglect that person. And if you want to look at it like, you know, vertically, like J-O-W or J-O-W, J-O-Y, I know how to spell. You try speaking publicly. It's not as easy as it looks. Jow. Yeah. How to have jow in your life. J-O-Y, right? You. It's kind of the base, isn't it? You know, you need to take care of you. You know, sometimes we don't preach enough about that. Sometimes we want to make it all about everybody else but us. And look, I understand that there's that's important. You know, that needs to be preached. We need to put Jesus first. We need to think about others. But we can't neglect ourselves either. We ought to be wise for ourselves. You know, if we take care of ourselves, we dig these wells that I'm going to talk about, you know, we'll live a longer life. We'll live a deeper life. We'll live a life where we have more to share. You know, if we can draw more out of a well, if we're that man of understanding that has, you know, deep water, that understanding that's in us, you know, and somebody comes along that has understanding, you know, we can share that water with them. We can help people. Be wise for thyself. Because the things that people are chasing after today and thinking that that's what's going to satisfy, the Bible tells us very explicitly that they're not. Those are the exact things that so many people are chasing. Those exact things are just not going to satisfy in life. We read it there. Go to Proverbs 23. You read it there in Ecclesiastes that silver shall not be... If you love silver, you won't be satisfied with silver. If you love abundance, you're not going to be satisfied with increase. And you know, the Bible says this several times. I'm not going to take the time to turn all the passages that reminds us that money and wealth and things are not what's going to satisfy in life. They're not the things that we should be emphasizing as God's people. If we want to live a life that isn't vain, if we want to live a deeper life, if we want to have a life of purpose and meaning and satisfaction, you know, it's not going to be found in the vanity of money, okay? Proverbs 23, verse 5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Well, what is it that is not? For riches so certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. I should have had you keep something in Ecclesiastes, but I'll just read to you. It says, when goods are increased, they are increased that eat them. Right? When you get more, it just seems to go away. When goods are increased, they are increased that eat them. Hey, when you set your eyes upon that which is not, you know, those riches, they make themselves wings and they fly away. You know, anyone that gets cut a paycheck on a weekly basis or whatever, anyone who has to, we know this is true. You know, a portion of our check grows wings without us even being able to do anything about it and flies away to the IRS, doesn't it? It just instantly sprouts wings, and before we even get the check, it's just fluttered off, you know, to pay taxes, right? But that's just the way money is. You know, it grows wings. It flies away as an eagle toward heaven, right? I think it's being a little majestic towards, you know, money there. You know, it's like an eagle. Well, meaning you're not going to get it. You know, that eagle flies pretty high. You're not going to be able to get that bird down. Money just goes, right? And Ecclesiastes, you know, again, reiterates this. When goods are increased, they're increased that eat them. Those of us that are being fruitful and multiplying, we know this is true. You know, as you go through your career and you get more, you know, capital in your career and you start making more money, it's like, oh, I'm making more money now. It's like, yeah, but now you had another child. Now you have another mouth to feed. Now you need a bigger house. Now you need a bigger car. Now you need more health insurance. It's like you got more goods, but they're increased that eat them, right? Those of us that are raising, you know, larger families, we know this is true. It just seems like you're getting ahead, and then it's just like, you know, someone else comes along and says, well, I'll take that. And it's the little bird that's sitting in the high chair squawking, you know, feed me, right? It's like that money just grows wings and goes right to that little baby bird. But look, if we make our lives about pursuing riches and silver and abundance, just you're setting yourself up for a vain life. That's what the Bible's teaching us. You're just setting yourself up for a life that doesn't have the satisfaction that it could. You're setting yourself up for a life that doesn't have the sense of purpose that it could. If all your life is going to be about is things and stuff and money, you know what? It's not going to satisfy. We want to be people who have depthness to ourselves. We want to have some depth. We want to have deepness, right? And this is something that Jesus used to illustrate. He illustrated this point as well. If you would go to Genesis chapter number 26. But Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, right? About how a man went forth to sow, and he sowed seed, and some fell on certain ground, and some fell on other ground. And he talks about the seed that fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. You know, there wasn't much room to grow. It was very shallow earth, right? And forthwith they sprung up. I mean, that seed was sown and it sprung up. It became that little, you know, that tiny little, plant started to spring out of the ground with that little tiny stalk with a little leaf on it. It did come out. It could have turned into something. It could have gotten big. It could have grown and become fruitful and useful and provided shade and, you know, had deep roots that went down. But what was the problem? It didn't have any depth, right? There was not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. You know, as the day prolonged, as life went on, they withered up, right? We don't want to be people like this who just have a shallow life. And when life comes along, you know, and gets intense, when the heat of life gets intense, like this sun, when we go through the mourning, you know, we go through the lamenting, we go through the sorrow that's inevitable, that just comes with life. You know, we don't want people that just shrivel up and you know, are gone. You know, we want to have depth, meaning we have to have deep soil if we're going to endure. We have to have roots that go down deep. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. And they withered away. But we know the parable goes on, talks about that which fell on good ground, that sprang up and increased. Why? Because it had depth. So I'm just using these illustrations to get across this idea of having a deeper life, of digging in certain areas of our life, of getting down deep, of putting in a root, of digging a well, of getting down there so that we can have a life of purpose and meaning and not live a life of vanity. And not get caught up in all the things that the world is trying to sell us. You know, the lifestyles and the stuff and the things that say, oh, this is where you're going to derive happiness and satisfaction and meaning. It's not. It's not in money. It's not in things. It's not in stuff. So, you know, the antidote to living a vain life is to have depth. Say, I don't want to live a vain, meaningless life. And look, you'll hear from people like this from time to time. People who have amassed great amounts of wealth. They'll tell you it doesn't satisfy. People who have reached, you know, highest levels of fame, they'll tell you it doesn't satisfy. People who have gotten all kinds of different things, they'll say it doesn't satisfy. You know, I thought if I just got more money and more wealth and more fame, I'd be a happy person. They end up being incredibly depressed because they've been digging the wrong well. You know, they haven't been digging in the right place. They have no depth. They have a vain life. So we don't want to end up like that. Not that any of us is probably going to achieve some great level of fame or riches. You know, but we don't want to live a vain life to any degree. You know, we should want to live lives that have meaning and purpose in them, okay? And you're not going to find it in the external. You're not going to find it in the things that are without. It has to be something that happens within. So this is, you know, this is just kind of how I've approached this in life. And I'm just sharing this, you know, you don't have to do things the way I do things, but this is just something I wanted to preach, you know, and this is just my analogy, right? And I'm using an analogy that the Bible uses of wells, right? So I want to preach just a couple sermons, you know, over the next few weeks about the wells of wellness. Okay, so I'm just kind of introducing that this morning. The wells of wellness, okay? And What I mean by that is that, you know, digging wells in specific areas of life that are going to make us well, that are going to make us healthier, happier, and provide more meaning and depth in our lives. And if you would, did I have you go to Genesis 26? You know, this is another story that we hear about when it comes to this idea of wells, right? Jacob was digging these wells again, right? In verse 12, Isaac sowed in the land and received the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. So he's having great possessions, right? For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great stores of servants, for the Philistines envied him. Okay. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father's, the Philistines had stopped them and filled with earth. So he's digging these wells, he's redigging the wells of Abraham, his father, and the Philistines, out of envy, are stopping them. You know, this is the way, and there's a lot of different ways you could apply this passage. I've heard this preached so many different ways, but I'm just going to use this morning to remind us that, you know, that's what the world wants to do to these wells in your life. They want to fill them up. The Philistines of vanity, the Philistines of the world, that it will plug up these wells in your life to where you will not have the depth that you need in certain areas. Verse 16, and Abimelech said to Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed from thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called them by their names after the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. So how did they find the springing water? They dug. You know, how do they find that water that is like deep counsel in the heart of man? They had to dig, okay? If we want to have a deeper life, we're going to have to intend to do it. We're going to have to dig some wells in our lives. And I know I'm kind of being obtuse this morning, kind of being a little vague, but this is just the introductory sermon. It's this idea, this concept of digging, okay? Digging these wells. And he says in verse 20, and the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen. So it's this idea, you know, Isaac keeps trying to dig these wells, and when he has success, there's always somebody there that's trying to stop him. There's always somebody that's trying to take the water for themselves. There's somebody there that's trying to fill in those wells. There's, you know, he's always having to strive for these wells, right? That's what it says here. The water is ours, and he called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. He's saying, you know what, I'm having to strive for this well. The world doesn't want you to live a deep life. The world doesn't want you to have depth. The world wants you caught up in vanity. You know, the world wants you chasing your tail, you know, going after riches, chasing your tail, going after things, going after stuff, thinking these are the things they're going to satisfy. They're going to strive with you over these things. They're going to strive with you and prevent you from trying to live a deeper life, a life that has meaning and purpose for God, and that's going to, you know, be beneficial both to you and to those around you. But what I love about Isaac in the story is he just keeps digging. He doesn't just say, well, you know, they filled up dad's wells, and I dug it, and they came and filled it up, and I dug this well, we found water, and then somebody took it. We had to strive for it. You know, we need to dig in our life. We need to get down into some deep things in life and get the wisdom that we need to live life. And it's not on the surface. You're not just going to find it on the surface. And if you just say, well, that doesn't sound like any fun, that's not what I want to do, that's not what I want to spend my life, go ahead, but you're going to live a life of vanity. That's what it'll be. If it's just all about money and fun and things and stuff, it's going to be a vain life. You know, and you might not feel that way now, you know. You know, the youth in the room might think, oh no, life's going to be great because it's just going to be all about my money. It's going to be all about the fun I'm going to have. It's going to be all the things I'm going to do. And then you're going to do those things and get those things, and you're going to find out that I was right. All those around you that are older and wiser tried to tell you that they were right. Turns out mom and dad are right. Turns out the preacher was right. Turns out brother so-and-so was right. You know, some of the older people in the room are nodding their heads because they know I'm right. People that have just made life about, I'm not saying the people nodding their heads did this, but you know, they know that if they made their life just all about going after things and stuff and money, it's not going to satisfy in the end. And you're going to have regrets. We're all going to have some level of regrets. You know, the goal in life should be to minimize those things. Not get on later in life and say, oh, you know, I wish I just had spent my whole life just pursuing vanity. That's why I'm preaching this. That's why I'm trying to get this across. This idea of digging these wells of wellness so we can have a deeper life. You know, depth is something that has to be pursued persistently, right? That's what I love about Isaac in the story. Verse 21, and they digged another well. Now, I don't know how many of you in this room have done much digging. I've done my fair share. You know, I worked for an excavating firm for several years. I stopped digging when I moved to Arizona. I made a point of that. I got a job when I first moved out here, cash job off Craigslist, digging footers, concrete footers. And then I found out here the soil is so hard here, they don't even use forms. Some of you that are native here are going, what's a form? No, just kidding. You know, where I'm from, you had to like put the stakes down, you had to set up the 2x4s that go down to the ground, you had to like form the concrete because it's all sand. It was easy digging. Got out here, they're like, oh, we don't have to do any of that because the earth itself is so hard that we don't even need to use forms. We just pour the concrete right in the ground and level it off, right? But, you know, I've done a lot of digging. You know, I've operated a shovel, you know, the smart end of the shovel for many hours. You know, there's a way to do it. But you know what? It's not easy. It's hard. It's difficult. It's not fun. And look, if you want to have a deep life, if you want to have a life that satisfies, if you don't want to live a vain life, you're going to have to dig. You're going to have to get out a shovel and start digging. You're going to have to pursue certain things in your life. You're going to have to, you know, carve out time in your schedule to do certain things and not just make your life about chasing after vanity, okay? Depth is something that has to be pursued. You know, that's what it means, the fact that it's deep. It's down in the ground. It has to be gone after. That's what I love about Isaac. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And you say, oh man, that's it. And how many wells is this now? And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not, meaning nobody was there to contend. He was able to dig down and find the water that he needed. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. For he saith, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Now, when did the fruitfulness come? When did he have that promise of abundance and wealth and prosperity? After he dug the well. After he found a well, then he dug and found the water. That's when he was able to be fruitful. So when I say, you know, we're going to dig the wells of wellness, what we're talking about is digging wells of wellness, meaning having health and prosperity in life. You know, and these are not Baptist cuss words. Health. Okay? That's not a dirty word in a Baptist church. You know, prosperity. I know we're against the prosperity gospel and things like that. This name it, claim it, Pentecostal, charismatic nonsense. Okay, I'm not promoting that, but we don't want to run to the other extreme and think, oh, we don't want to be prosperous in life. No, we do. We want to have health, we want to have prosperity, we want to be fruitful in the land. In order to have that, you have to dig. In order to do that, you have to have a well dug in a certain area. And I want to just kind of just, you know, dispel any notion of, you know, having health or wellness in life is not something we should pursue. The Bible talks about us having health and being prosperous in the Bible. If you would, go back to Proverbs 17. I'll remind us of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, which says in verse 19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Sounds to me like God is concerned with the body. You know, and one of the wells that we need to dig in life when it comes to digging wells of wellness is, you know, our physical health. That's a well that needs to be dug. We shouldn't neglect that well. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But just this idea of, you know, having health, having prosperity, taking the time to dig these wells and so that we can prosper as individuals is not something that is unbiblical. Look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You know, we should want to have that merry heart. We should want to what? Do good. We should want to have that medicine, that wellness in our life. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter number 16. It says there in verse 24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Oh, the Bible doesn't talk about health. The Bible doesn't care about, you know, how we are physically. No, it's talking about having health to the bones, right? Having being in what about, go to Proverbs chapter 3. What about in 3 John? Beloved, I wish, you're going to Proverbs 3. Beloved, I wish all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. I mean, that's the Apostle John saying, I hope that you are what? I pray that you would be that you would prosper and be in health. You know, and that's something that I would want for this church as well. You know, I want people in this room to prosper. I want the people in this room to be in health. I want that for my own life. I want that for my family. I want that for, you know, anybody. That's something that we should wish upon others, but it's also something we should wish for ourselves. And all I'm trying to do in this series is get across the, you know, help you to understand where we should be digging, you know, where we should be investing our time in order to be prosperous, in order to have the health that we need in many different forms. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." You could say, oh, he's speaking figuratively there. But you know, in a lot of ways, that's literal. You know, if you depart from evil, that's going to do you well physically. It's going to be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You know, if you get away from the evil of alcohol, if you get away from the evil of drug use, if you get away from the evil of cigarettes and other intoxicants, if you get away from, you know, the sin of fornication, these other things, that's going to be literally health to you. It's going to do you good physically. You know, you're not going to, you know, obviously there's no guarantees in life. You know, and there's more than one way to suffer. But, you know, we minimize the chances of dealing with a lot of diseases if we depart from evil. We're not going to deal with the throat cancer. You know, if we're not, you know, putting in the chaw, we're not going to have our lower jaw cut off. And it sounds like a crazy story, but I've known people like that. You know, they started dipping, you know, chaw or what do they call it? Tobacco. Yeah, the chewing tobacco. And, you know, eventually they develop, you know, jaw cancer and have had their whole lower jaw removed. You know, they're not going to get the lung cancer. They're not going to, you know, get the, you know, the disease of the liver. They're not going to go through these different difficulties that other people go through because they refuse to depart from evil. You know, and these evils that people are chasing after today are vanity. They're vanity. The drunkenness, the fornication, the intoxication, all of these things, they chase after it. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thine navel and marrow to thy bones. Go to Proverbs 4. Just go over, you know, probably just one page, Proverbs 4. Verse 20, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh." You know, the commandments, the words of God, you know, these things are life and health unto us. They will do us good. Spiritually, physically, mentally, it will help us be in it will help us be in health, and it will help us to prosper. Okay? So again, I'm just using an analogy that this is just something I use for myself that I'm just sharing with you. This idea, you know, in order to avoid living a vain life, of having a deeper, more significant, significantly purposeful life, through digging the wells, okay? And really, the way I do this is I just kind of break up, you know, the different areas of my life into five different wells. That's 10. I meant five, if you're paying attention. You know, five different wells. And just as means of quickly to just introduce this, the five wells that we'll talk about are the wells of wisdom, and this is, you know, in order of importance. Wisdom, well-being, meaning physically, mentally, welcome, you know, I'll explain that. And there's further, you don't like alliteration, you're not going to like the series. Because there's alliterated subpoints that I'm not getting into. Okay. You have to come to find out. What is the well of welcome? Well, you got to come to find out. The well of work, right? That's important. And the well of wonder. Now, these are five wells that I try to dig in my life, you know, consistently. And I'm always trying to make sure that I have the specific shovel that I'm doing my daily digging. You know, and digging these wells so that I don't end up living a vain life, so that I can be in health and prosperity. And I just want to share that with you because again, this is just my method. And I'll tell you this is not original with me. This is something I've distilled from other people and kind of personalized it for myself. This idea of compartmentalizing, of dividing or sectioning up, you know, different areas of your life. And trying to, you know, dig in these different areas or work on and focus on these different areas in life, right? That's something I got from somebody else. I just brought in the analogy of a well because I liked it. I like the letter W, not Y. And I like, you know, the idea that the Bible uses a well, okay? So the five wells we'll talk about is wisdom, well-being, welcome, work, and wonder. It's not original with me. You say, why preach this? I'll tell you why I'm preaching this. Because life demands balance. Life demands balance. If we make our life all about one well and not another, we're going to be out of whack. And we're not going to live a deep life like we could. We're going to suffer. We're not going to profit from that. So, you know, that's why I'm preaching it, because life demands balance. And, you know, having a system, having a perspective on life is better than not having one at all. So, and if you're going to tune this out and maybe you'll skip the Sunday morning series, you know, hopefully you'll go ahead and get a system anyway. I'm just offering this as, you know, a track to run on. I'm not saying you have to do things exactly the way I do it. You have to use these exact analogies. You have to use my alliteration. You have to, you know, make it your own. That's what I did. You know, personalize the lessons for yourself. Pay attention and apply it to your life. You know, and obviously this morning was a little bit more vague. Obviously it wasn't really specific. It was just kind of introducing this concept of living a deeper life, of digging these wells in our lives. But it's an important concept. It's one that we should be thinking about. It's one that we should be, you know, trying to manifest in our own lives in some shape or form. You know, whether you're going to use what I provide here or not, that's fine. But make sure you're doing something to not, you know, to avoid living a vain life. Do something. Personalize these lessons, because we don't want to be people who just go through life just, you know, with no depth. We want to be people that have something to offer. Offer to our children. Offer to those around us. We want to have depth. In order to do that, we got to dig some wells. I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, explain the five wells of wellness that I try to dig in my own life. Let's go ahead and pray.